Hi, and welcome to There's Hope with Homeopathy. This is Amy Lansky, actually recording this time on a pre-recorded broadcast from the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm recording this show a week early this week because on March 18th, the day you're listening to this, I'm going to be flying in the air, actually, visiting with my mom in Buffalo. But I'm here today, and for those of you who've tuned in before, you know that the subject of this show is classical homeopathy and how it can be used to treat and even cure autism. In fact, last month's show, in February, the subject of the show was the story of how my own son, Max, was cured of autism with homeopathy. The subject today is really the beginning of several shows about homeopathy itself, really the beginning of an introduction to homeopathy, and in particular this week, its philosophy and understanding of how disease happens and how it can be cured. Now, why is it important to understand these things? Why is homeopathic philosophy important for patients to know? After all, our allopathic or conventional doctors don't care if we understand medicine at all. In fact, sometimes we feel like they want us not to understand medicine. Well, in contrast, it's really important for homeopathic patients to understand homeopathic philosophy. Why? Well, first of all, it will help you as a patient better understand the meaning of the process that you're going to go through in homeopathic treatment. In particular, as symptoms arise, you'll be able to understand what symptoms are signs of cure, what are good symptoms, and what symptoms are signs of disease progressing. For example, in allopathic medicine, we may think that a disease, like whatever symptom we've gone to the doctor for, has been cured. And then let's say, for example, we've gone to the doctor with stomach cramps, and the doctor gives us some medicine, and the stomach cramps seem to go away, so we think we're cured. But what if the next symptom that arises is depression? We may think these two things are unrelated, but according to homeopathic philosophy, this would be a sign that the treatment that you had for the stomach cramps was probably incorrect and, in fact, led to the deepening of your illness. And the illness is now manifesting itself with a more serious symptom of depression. The other second reason why it's important for patients to understand homeopathic philosophy is that it'll help you to help yourself stay healthy. In particular, to avoid practices that homeopaths have come to understand lead to the progression or increase of disease. One of the things I'm going to be talking a lot about today is the dangers of suppressing symptoms, taking medications that simply disguise or suppress your symptoms rather than actually curing them. And moreover, homeopathic philosophy provides insight into why this is the case. Finally, understanding homeopathic philosophy enables you to understand the science of a true cure. And in fact, most doctors, you know, conventional doctors, are unaware of what a true cure looks like because, as I said before, most of the medications they dispense have served the function of suppressing disease, not actually curing or truly removing it. In homeopathy, the goal is to actually cure a condition, not simply suppress the symptoms. So, for example, with homeopathic treatment, it is actually possible to cure chronic conditions, let's say like asthma, not simply mask or suppress those symptoms so that your asthma is actually gone. It's not just dealt with. Now, when it comes to autism, this obviously also is very important. The goal of a homeopathic practitioner is actually to genuinely ameliorate and hopefully even completely lift the disease, not simply patch up symptoms by suppressing them, let's say troublesome symptoms like gastric problems or behavioral problems. Unfortunately, most conventional treatments for for autistic children are geared towards these kinds of suppressive results, just masking the behavioral symptoms or gastric upsets. And the question is, do these treatments actually, you know, increase disease for these kids? And is it possible to instead get at the root cause of the problem, what is actually causing this child to have these problems, not simply mask the symptoms? Now, before I continue getting into the meat of the show, I just want to emphasize what I always say at the beginning of all my shows, is that if you are interested in homeopathy for treating your child or for yourself, I truly suggest that you buy my book. It's called Impossible Cure, The Promise of Homeopathy, because this book really forms the basis for the content of this show. In particular, the focus of today's show is chapter four, if you have that book. You can find out about how to order Impossible Cure online at impossiblecure.com. And at that site, if you click on order, it'll tell you how to order at Amazon, or you can call or go to the website of several homeopathic booksellers. The book's also soon going to be carried by Barnes & Noble online. And for those of you who this might be useful, the German translation of Impossible Cure is going to be published this summer by Random House Germany. And the website also tells you how you can order this German translation of my book. Now, for those of you who'd like to contact me, obviously today's show is recorded, so you can't call in during the show as it's being broadcast live, but you can always send me an email at alansky, A-L-A-N-S-K-Y, at autism1.org. You can also send me an email at lansky at impossiblecure.com. And I can respond to your questions on the show, or I probably will just email you personally as well. Now, I do believe my next show is April 15th. It might be April 22nd. I'm not sure how they're going to handle the schedule in April. That show will be devoted specifically to autism treatment, homeopathic autism treatment. I will have just returned from the yearly National Center for Homeopathy Conference. This year, it's going to be in Orlando, April 8th through 10th. 8th through 10th is the core of the conference. I'm actually giving a talk on homeopathic treatment of autism. That's going to be Sunday morning, April 10th, at the Orlando Windham Resort. So if you want to find out more about that conference, it's www.homeopathic.org, which is H-O-M-E-O-P-A-T-H-I-C.org. So let me go on now with the topic of today's show. I may go over the allotted time, but if I do, that's okay. You can keep listening because there's no show on right after this one. But I have a lot of content to get through today, so let's begin. So, first let me begin by saying that the content of today's show is really ideas that are common to most systems of alternative medicine, not just homeopathy. That includes systems like acupuncture, traditional osteopathy, and chiropractic. These systems are all based on a very alternative view of the human body and of health, what it means to be healthy, and what it means to be cured. Now, please note that when we think about natural or alternative modes of health care, I'm not just simply talking about using natural substances, because after all, even natural substances like herbs or whatever can be used in what we would call an allopathic or conventional way. For example, just to suppress symptoms or mask symptoms, not get to the root cause of your disease. So a person who is truly working within the context of an alternative view of medicine, of health and disease, has a very different philosophy about what they're trying to accomplish. And in particular, homeopathy really has a very, very different, almost opposite view of how health can be achieved. Now, the fundamental view of the body by conventional medicine is that the body is an elaborate biochemical machine. that we work kind of like a machine, like a car or an airplane. And so when our machine is broken, the philosophy is, well, let's just fix the physical parts. Let's pour in some more chemicals, be they natural or unnatural, to improve the functioning of the machine, or let's just cut and paste the body parts to put it back together so that they work better. And in fact, you know, allopathic medicine has really is at a zenith of this kind of thinking. And we all know about it because our TV commercials are full of more and more drugs and chemicals to pour into our bodies to fix this or that. In fact, and really the use of surgery has gone, you know, crazy as well. Forget plastic surgery. I mean, what about the wholesale use of stomach stapling to treat obesity instead of getting at the root cause of obesity, which might be emotional, hormonal, habits, whatever. Why is a person have these kinds of problems? Is you know, irreparably altering their stomach really the solution to what is going on with them? Same kind of thinking goes behind when doctors prophylactically remove, let's say, a woman's ovaries to avoid cancer. Do we know, first of all, do we know this person's going to even get cancer? What are the consequences of removing these very important hormone-producing organs from her body? It seems like a wiser thing to try to reduce a woman's susceptibility to cancer in general and her body's ability to heal and fight cancer, because after all, cancer cells are always forming in the body. What's important is that the body has a strong enough immune system to kill the cancer cells. So removing her ovaries doesn't stop her from forming cancer in some other part of her body. So this is symptomatic of a kind of a view of disease, of viewing it as a mechanical mechanism. A secondary aspect of this is that doctors, since the human body machine is very complex, have all specialized in subsystems. And we think of, you know, because the doctors, different doctors for all these subsystems, we think of these subsystems as all disconnected from each other as well. What happens? Then people are going to 10 different doctors, taking 10 different medicines, and putting them into their pill organizers so that they can take all of these medicines every day. What's the result? Is that now regular medicine, allopathic medicine, is considered conservatively viewed as the number three cause of death in the United States, and according to some estimates is the number one cause of death in the United States, surpassing cancer and heart disease. So that's debatable, but it's certainly the number three cause of death in the United States. And of course, we hear news of this daily, you know. Yesterday's wonder drug has become today's dangerous drug. For example, all the recent news about Vioxx, using Vioxx for arthritis pain, now causing heart disease. So why is this true? Why do we have these side effects from all these drugs? And the interesting thing is that this phenomena, side effects from drugs, in particular, for example, getting heart disease from taking suppressive arthritis pain medications, is directly explained by homeopathic philosophy about disease and disease progression. So now I'm going to begin on the alternative view of health and disease that is shared by homeopathy and many other alternative systems. And the number one first point is that these systems are holistic, and what that means is that the body is viewed as a whole, that all parts of the body are connected. In fact, not just the body, but the mind and the emotions as well. It's all one whole thing. So if you do something to your skin, if you put eczema, if you put cortisone cream to suppress your eczema, well, will that affect something besides your skin? Well, yes, and it turns out that often what happens is that a suppressed eczema can lead to deleterious effects on your respiratory system. In fact, often there's a progression from suppressing eczema to the development of allergies, and if those allergies are suppressed, then to the development of asthma. This is a very common disease progression, and according to the holistic view of homeopathy and other systems, it's a direct result of this suppression. So because the body is all connected as one, your skin is connecting to your respiratory system, which is connected to your circulatory system, which is connected to your neurological system. It's all connected. You are just one whole complex entity that also entails your mind and emotions. Because it's all connected, we treat the whole. That's what it means by holistic medicine. So instead of finding some kind of medicine to treat each particular symptom that you're experiencing and then end up taking 10 medicines, the goal in homeopathy, in classical homeopathy, is to pick a single remedy that matches or addresses the whole system as well, that matches the whole gestalt, all the symptoms of mind and body at once. And because if you find a good remedy that matches this whole system, then your cures are also holistic or systemic. Now I'm going to read a little story from my book. One thing that makes my book has made it very popular is that it includes dozens of first-person cure stories. Not just the story about my son's cure, but for a wide variety of diseases. So this one I'm going to read to you was written by an American homeopath, Steve Waldstein, who's a practitioner in Colorado, and he describes his own cure, his own personal experience. He says, "When I was first given my first homeopathic remedy 25 years ago, my chief complaint was bronchitis, which had lasted for 4 months, leading to cracked ribs with coughing. The result of this remedy was, 1, the bronchitis went away immediately. 2, my asthma and allergies went away. 3, emotionally, I had a gigantic improvement. And 4, moderate scoliosis that I had had for 13 years, resulting in me spending a number of my teenage years on a back brace, disappeared over the next 6 months. It is amazing how deep the changes from the correct remedy can be." So that just gives you an idea. In fact, if you find the correct remedy, and sometimes it's hard to find this remedy, but if you find the one that matches you overall, amazing changes can take place. I myself have experienced my summer allergies going away. Just so many things can transform in your whole body. Your sleep, your gastrointestinal system, your digestion, your menstrual cycle, etc. Your whole general system improves in its health and in recovery. So that's the first point. One is that our whole body is connected, and appropriate holistic treatment can cure the whole body at once. The second point is that we are more than just a body. So many, and in fact many, if not most, of alternative medicines recognize the existence of the energy body. In Chinese medicine, this energy is called qi. In Indian medicine, it's called prana. In homeopathy, it's called the vital force. But it's really all the same thing. The idea is that the energy body, there's an energy body that interpenetrates your physical body. And moreover, not only is it coexisting and interpenetrating your whole body, but it is the primary thing that determines your health, state of health. In fact, the view is that most disease begins with some problem in your energy body. Usually, the first symptoms of this problem are emotional and mental. Emotional and mental symptoms usually predate physical problems. And then, eventually, the problems are manifested in the physical body. So, for example, cancer, as a disease, usually begins with some problem in your energy body. The tumor that you experience is the end result or the product of this process that began in your energy body. It is not the beginning or the cause of the cancer. So, therefore, by this reasoning, cutting out or removing a tumor doesn't remove the energy disease. And that's why, even though we use all these things, surgery, chemo, radiation, often the cancer reoccurs because the energy imbalance is still present in the body. You need to remove the cause or the reason for the susceptibility to cancer, not just kill the cancer tumor, which is the end result of this susceptibility. Similarly, in autism, we know that there's all these diverse manifestations of autism, physically, behaviorally. Every autistic kid has their own little nuance, their own differences. And most of the treatments that are out there, even alternative treatments, are patching problems. And, you know, of course, they help us out. They can be effective. They can help. For things like supplements and diets, for example, they replace nutrients that somehow aren't being absorbed by the body, or they remove aggravating factors like allergens from the diet. But the question is, why is this imbalance of the body occurring? Why is the autistic child's body in this state of imbalance? Why is it functioning incorrectly? Of course, a lot of us believe, and I agree, that the trigger may have been vaccination. But what is the underlying damage that's been done by these vaccines such that that there's so many different manifestations, different in every child, which is what's confusing everybody about this disease? What is the underlying damage to the mechanism that manifests in all these problems? And the answer is, it's very likely some kind of damage to the energy body. And the energy body is damaged, and it's manifesting in the physical body in all these ways. So all these treatments that are addressing symptoms of the problems, physical symptoms may help, but they will not cure the underlying energy dysfunction. So medicines that treat the energy body directly, and one of those is homeopathy, are trying to get to the root cause of the problem. And if they succeed, they can therefore help improve the overall system and the functioning of the body, because the energy body is repaired and restored. And then the physical body can follow suit, and then the digestive system can start working correctly. Rather than just preventing, let's say, further damage through diet, and it's still that is very important to do until you've fixed the damage, you hopefully, and at least in my experience, and eventually, the physical body can be restored to its normal function. Function of the brain and the gut and whatever can be restored, function that's been lost. Of course, the hard part is finding the correct remedy in homeopathy, one that exactly matches the energetic state of the patient. And that remedy will be the one whose mental, emotional, physical symptoms match the patient. So that's what, as I said in my very first show, that's what homeopathy really means. The word homeo means similar. The word pathy means suffering. So the word homeopathy means similar suffering. And that means we need to find a remedy that causes symptoms exactly similar to those being experienced by the patient, physically and mentally. Of course, there are cases, and in my experience, actually very few diseases where the body function cannot be restored. And these are usually ones where the physical body has been so damaged that it cannot heal itself. There's no possible mechanism for its repair. One of these diseases, unfortunately, is type 1 diabetes. I've never heard of type 1 diabetes being cured by homeopathy, but I do know of cases where some functional improvement has occurred. So if there is a possibility for the body to actually restore its function within the realm of possibility, then a medicine like homeopathy has the potential to achieve it if we can find the correct remedy. Okay, the next point, number 3, about these alternative view of health and healing, is that we are, as human beings, as biological creatures, we are intrinsically self-healing. Our body intrinsically has mechanisms to heal itself. If that wasn't true, when we get a cut, we would stay cut and bleed forever. Our body can heal itself. That is what it's been designed to do. Unfortunately, it's something that most of us have forgotten about. We think that we need lots of pills to prop us up so we can get through the day. But how did we get here? How did our ancestors survive so that we could be here today? How did our ancestors survive without pharmaceuticals if we can't? The truth is we have to get back in touch with the idea is that a body can heal itself. So what are symptoms? Now we're moving on to point four. What are symptoms? Why do we get these symptoms? Well, most of the time, symptoms are signs of the body's attempt to heal itself. So when we vomit, when we have a fever, it's the body's way of getting rid of pathogens, or vomiting from a stomach flu, getting rid of whatever is wrong in the body. A fever, similarly, when you have a fever, it's the body's way of killing off bacteria. When we have inflammation, that's the body's way of marshaling blood to the area where the infection's occurring to bring antibodies, etc., to isolate and to attack whatever is the cause of the infection in the body. Inflammation has a function. Similar, even mental problems, shock, hysteria, depression, these are the body's healthy way to react to, let's say, you know, very terrible stressors in our life. What would it mean if, let's say, we had some shocking situation and we didn't go into a state of shock or hysteria? What would it mean if a person witnessed 9/11 and wasn't shocked and hysterical from it? It would mean something was really terribly wrong with them, actually. Or what if you didn't become depressed or a little sad, you know, if you lost, you know, a parent or a child? This would mean something was wrong with you. So these kinds of mental states are natural and healthy responses to situations. So, if that's true, what does it mean if everything we do is to suppress those symptoms? Those are your body's attempts to try to heal itself. What does it mean when we just try to push them down, suppress those symptoms? Unfortunately, this is the primary mode of modern allopathic medicine. Well, a simple example, for example, is the use of decongestant sprays. And we all know, wow, they work really fast. You spray those things in your nose and suddenly your nose is clear. But if you read the label, it says don't use this for more than 3 days. Why? Because immediately afterwards, your congestion will get worse and worse. Your body wants those symptoms. And if you try to suppress them, it will react by having the symptoms become even stronger. Well, what if you succeed in completely suppressing the symptoms so they don't come back? Well, according to homeopathic philosophy, the energy dysfunction is there. Some underlying disease state is there. So if it's been completely suppressed, it's going to try to find a way to express itself in a different fashion. Now, it's important to know that usually the body's symptoms are its least damaging manifestation of disease. The body tries to manifest the disease in a way that's least damaging to your survival, to your health. So if you suppress those symptoms, it's probably going to come up with new symptoms that are more damaging to your health. And that's how we get the common pathways for disease. Every person has their sort of susceptibilities, what they're prone to. And your disease, as you suppress, your disease will progress and get deeper and deeper along the pathway that your body is particularly susceptible to. So, for example, if you tend to have eczema, allergies, asthma, as you suppress that eczema, it will move into allergies, and then we'll move into asthma. Now, similarly, arthritis, common pathway of disease, arthritis to heart disease. So if we suppress the arthritis pain with the Vioxx, heart attack. And what is more serious to the body? Having arthritis pain is a less serious symptom than getting a heart attack, obviously. So that's why we have all these side effects from drugs. That's why when you listen to those commercials on TV for allergy medicine or acne medicine, and then in quick, small print, they say, oh, and by the way, you might get kidney failure and this and that. Those quote-unquote side effects are really the result of the suppression of these symptoms. This is a very important thing for us to think about, because I believe, homeopaths believe, and alternative medicine practitioners believe this is why we are suffering from so much chronic disease today. So, next, what does a cure look like? How can you get cured? Well, according to Hahnemann, the founder of homeopathy, he actually coined the term allopathy. He actually coined the term homeopathy, allopathy, and antipathy. And these describe three ways of treating disease. The homeopathic approach, like I described earlier, is if you have some symptoms, you give a substance that can cause those symptoms. Of course, the substance is given in this very highly dilute or attenuated form. So, for example, I think I mentioned on the first show that a homeopathic treatment for certain types of insomnia or agitation where you can't sleep is to actually give homeopathic coffee. It's because coffee can cure certain kinds of insomnia and agitation. Now, the second approach, which is the approach mainly used by allopathic doctors, is the antipathic approach, which is if you have some symptoms, you give a substance that causes the opposite of the symptoms. And that's why we have so many drugs that begin with the word anti, antiperspirant, antidiarrheal, antidepressant. These suppress the symptoms by creating the opposite symptoms. And the word allopathy, allo means no particular relationship. So in this case, the approach is to use anything that seems to work. So the treatment might be antipathic. It actually might be homeopathic. And believe it or not, some allopathic drugs have homeopathic action. Or the drug might just serve to mask the symptoms by imposing a new disease on top of the previous disease. So, for example, this is true of some very strong drugs like cancer drugs where you're imposing a very serious disease on the person that suppresses the cancer itself. So, according to homeopathic philosophy, the only way to actually cure and not suppress is homeopathically, by giving drugs that cause the similar symptoms. And moreover, any type of suppression leads to deepening of disease. The symptoms might appear to go away, but they will probably be replaced by new symptoms that are deeper. And it's just a spiral downward cycle. So what does it look like then when you have a homeopathic treatment? What does cure look like? Well, there's several principles that signal what a cure looks like. The first and the most fundamental one is that when you have healing, you heal from the deepest level to the most superficial. So the first thing to be healed will be the most serious symptoms. And then later and later, the most superficial symptoms. As a corollary of this, really, you tend to heal from the head, from the top of the body out towards the extremities, because after all, the head and the torso are more important to your health than your arms and your legs. And the third rule is that you tend to heal in reverse order of appearance. So the most recent symptoms tend to be healed first, and then the earlier symptoms that arose. As part of this, an interesting thing that tends to happen in homeopathy is that once your most recent symptoms are cured, you might have a reoccurrence of your previous symptoms. So here's a typical type of story. Let's say you go to a homeopath for your asthma and you get the correct remedy. You'll find your asthma starts abating, you have less asthma, but then you might find that suddenly you start getting eczema that you had 4 years ago before you had your asthma. Now, if you suppress the eczema again, you might move back into the asthma. But if you continue with the process, use other remedies or the same remedy, then the eczema might start leaving too. It might be worse, let's say, near the top of your body, on your face or whatever, and then gradually move out towards your limbs, which is less important, and then leave entirely. So that is a typical curative type of story. Now, in autism, what's the deepest symptom? Really, the deepest symptom is being cut off, is the symptom of the disconnection from the rest of us. The physical symptoms are less deep from this point of view. So when in an autism treatment, what we'll find is that the first sign of improvement will be some kind of manifestation of a desire for communication, from being more in connection with others. But the food sensitivities, they might be the last to be cured, because a person can function very well with these food sensitivities. They can't function very well if they're cut off from the rest of us, from communication with our world. So that's why there has to be a lot of patience, because the first thing and the most important thing to cure is really these deepest symptoms of autism. And all the physical symptoms will be later. Another thing that often occurs too during cure is that there will be discharges from the body, which is the sign of the body sort of expelling the disease. So, for example, in an acute ailment, you might get diarrhea, or like I said before, rashes might come out. You might have vomiting. These things might happen. Sometimes what happens in treatment of autism, since autism often began, sometimes it begins with convulsions, sometimes these may return, or a high fever, or the child might get very sick, but afterwards it's dispelled from the system. I've heard many stories like this, and afterwards the child is much better. Okay, well, that's about all I have time for now. I've gone over by about 10 minutes, but I hope that I have provided some interesting food for thought for you today. There's so much more that can be said on this topic. Really, this is many lectures, many hours of lectures to understand the fundamentals of homeopathic philosophy. And you can get a better understanding by really buying my book and reading it. So once again, the name of the book is Impossible Cure, and you can find out more at impossiblecure.com. And like I said, next month I'm going to be talking specifically about homeopathic treatment of autism. So feel free to email me, and I look forward to next month. Bye-bye.